This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. So we're going to talk about Medal of Honor Monday here in just a couple minutes, of course. Then we are going to dig into a couple other things about Afghanistan. I'm going to do some emails. There's a lot we have to get to tonight on the show. But we're not getting to anything else but Medal of Honor Monday right now. Start of the second hour, every single Monday, we do the exact same thing. We honor a hero, we remember his name, and we remember his deeds. And I want to remind you again that every time someone earns a Medal of Honor, they do a write-up on what he did. It's called a citation. You can go look these up yourself. It's free. There are multiple websites that allow you, you can even sort it by branch of service or by conflict. You can just go read them. It's like reading an action movie. Read them to your kids, to the office, to your team, to your Sunday school. These are people who should be remembered. It is important for a nation to remember its heroes. And we do take email recommendations on top of your love, your hate, and your death threats. And you ask Dr. Jesse questions, of course. If you have a Medal of Honor citation that is close to you in some way, a friend, a neighbor from your hometown, maybe one you just love, you can email it in. There is a bit of a backlog on that one, warning you, but we got this email. Jesse, you recently honored Roger Donlin's Medal of Honor Award. Shortly after it was awarded, he was the keynote speaker to the graduating infantry OCS class at Fort Benning on the 13th of May, 1965. In the audience was the very next recipient, Walter Marm, for actions he would perform 6 months later at LZ X-Ray, the battle portrayed in We Were Soldiers. If you recognize Walter Marm on 12th of May, 2025, that's one day before 60 years ago. Obviously, we missed that one. I was in the graduating class on the 13th of May, 1965. How cool is this? And Walter Marm was in the class behind us. There were three Medal of Honors awarded for actions during the Battle of LZ X-Ray. Walter Marm, Ed Too Tall Freeman, and Bruce P. Crandall. So just to set this up before I get to the actual citation again, remember that helicopters in Vietnam go hand in hand. Now, because of books and movies and documentaries, everyone just sees these helos in Vietnam and just kind of thinks to themselves what was always part of it. That was the first war, the first major war where we were kind of pioneering this idea that instead of, you know, horses, we could fly these things and all of our troops in and out of battle. We can fly supplies in and out of battle, wounded in and out of battle. We can come up with fleets of these helos and fly them in and out. Now back to the story. Remember, it's a great book, by the way, before they made a great movie about it. The book is called We Were Soldiers, and I believe it's called We Were Soldiers Once and Young. The name of the movie is just We Were Soldiers. It's a Mel Gibson movie. It is outstanding. Maybe a little rough depending on the age of your kids, by the way, but outstanding, outstanding movie and pretty accurate portrayal of what went down. So when we first got to Vietnam, and actually throughout our time in Vietnam, one of the hardest things is to gather intelligence, to know where the enemy is and how many of them there are. This is not something that just magically comes to you. You don't know. And when you start to include things like mountains, things like the jungle, any kind of thickly wooded area, it becomes even more impossible to figure out what's out there, how many of them there are. It's we take this unit, right? We take this unit of cavalry soldiers, throw them on helos, and they go to some place named the I Drang Valley. It's in Vietnam. They were there as kind of a reconnaissance in force type mission, meaning there's a lot of our guys, not an overwhelming amount, there's a lot of them, and they're there to sniff around and see what's out there. And there are, we think, enough of them that, look, no matter what, they're not going to run into a force big enough to wipe them out, right? Only we find out almost immediately after we get these guys there that there is an insurmountable force of North Vietnamese right on top of them. They were at the base of this mountain, and the mountain served as the headquarters for this force. And the North Vietnamese, when they realized the Americans had landed, they saw it as an opportunity to wipe out the American troops as really a propaganda thing, meaning, what kind of a message would this send the American public if they lost all these guys? Let's go kill them all and see what happens. And so our guys walk into a hornet's nest. And to get out of a hornet's nest like this, you need guys like Walter Joseph Marm Jr., U.S. Army. He was a second lieutenant at the time. And he was born in 1941 in Washington, Pennsylvania. Here's what he did.
Ready, aim.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, as a platoon leader in the 1st Cavalry Division, 1st Lieutenant Marm demonstrated indomitable courage during a combat operation. His company was moving through the valley to relieve a friendly unit surrounded by an enemy force of estimated regimental size. First Lieutenant Marm led his platoon through withering fire until they were finally forced to take cover. Realizing that his platoon could not hold very long and seeing 4 enemy soldiers moving into his position, he moved quickly under heavy fire and annihilated all 4. Then, seeing that his platoon was receiving intense fire from a concealed machine gun, he deliberately exposed himself to draw its fire. Thus locating its position, he attempted to destroy it with an anti-tank weapon. Although he inflicted casualties, the weapon did not silence the enemy fire. Quickly disregarding the intense fire directed on him and his platoon, he charged 30 meters across open ground and hurled grenades into the enemy position, killing some of the 8 insurgents manning it. Although severely wounded, when his grenades were expended, armed with only a rifle, he continued the momentum of his assault on the position and killed the remainder of the enemy. First Lieutenant Marm's selfless actions reduced the fire on his platoon, broke the enemy assault, and rallied his unit to continue toward the accomplishment of this mission. First Lieutenant Marm's gallantry on the battlefield and his extraordinary intrepidity at the risk of his life are in the highest traditions of the U.S. Army and reflect great credit upon himself and the armed forces of his country. It really, truly is a wonderful, wonderful story of American heroism. And if you're a reader, really, really recommend the book. Don't feel guilty if you're like Chris and you can't read. Just go pick up the movie. It's an excellent movie. Excellent. It's an excellent movie. Pretty violent, obviously, because it's combat. This is a warning for the kiddos, for parents where the kids are too small. I attempted to show the boys this movie probably when they were a little too young, and it didn't take me that long into the movie where I decided, maybe another couple years before they're seasoned enough to handle it. Look, there are people burning alive, that can be difficult to see. Hey, Jesse, Democrats are now openly saying if they win in 2028, They'll retroactively decide if any orders were illegal, and they'll prosecute anyone who followed them. We know this is the exact playbook. How realistic is it that they can do this? Is it all talk and bluster? Will it affect any rank and file in the military today? His name is Chris. Well, one, let's not ever doubt the seriousness of the communist. Because the communist, especially in America today, can look so silly and ridiculous with their stupid dances on the streets and their pink fruity hair and everything else, it can be easy for normal people like you, like me, to say, well, they're not serious. They're not serious. And on top of that, remember this. The communist's plans are so violent, evil, and demonic that one of his greatest feathers in his cap has always been his opposition not thinking he's serious. They wouldn't really, right? Oh, they would never do this, right? They would never do that, right? They're just talking. They're never just talking. They're dead serious. Trust me on that. Now, I'll get to that in a moment, in a little more depth. I want to read you this. Hey, Jesse, have you ever looked at a digital picture frame? I know you're happy with legacy box digitization. Now, a digital picture frame is like having all those images as slides on a desk, table, hanging on a wall. You can put on the video, so on and so forth. His name is Craig. I read this because that's exactly what we did with our legacy box thumb drive. Right now, Legacy Box, they have a Cyber Week event going on. 65% off. Did you hear me? 65% off. When you get a thumb drive with your videos or your hard copy pictures digitized, they have these frames now. You plug it in, and it just cycles through those pictures all day long. Do you know how freaking wonderful that is to have in your house? I think we have several. Well, I know we have several. I was about to say three, but it might be four at this point in time. Anyway, 65% off. Legacybox.com/Jesse. Take advantage of that. Legacybox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday, and I'm not going to drag you down here. I swear we're going to get to a couple emails and off-the-wall stories here in a moment, but I did want to address that email before we get to Venezuela and the refugees and emails and everything else. The guy asked, do you think Democrats are serious about prosecuting people on the right if they take over? You know what the Doolittle raid is, right? I'm not going to do a long thing on it, but the Doolittle raid. What was it? After Pearl Harbor, the United States of America wanted to send a message to Japan. Japan felt like it was really, really safe, clear across the Pacific Ocean. They had a great navy. They'd taken all these islands. And the island itself has really a religious significance to the Japanese people, certainly at that time. And so we came up with the idea for a raid. We would take these bombers. You'd have to strip them out of a bunch of stuff to make them light enough so they could take off from an aircraft carrier because the runway isn't that long. And we would send a bombing raid over Japan. Now, did you know that the Doolittle raid didn't hardly do any damage? In fact, if we're being honest, it didn't do any significant damage to the Japanese war effort, and I mean none whatsoever. Did not hold back the Japanese war machine at all. So why bother? And I guess more importantly, why did the Japanese get so angry after it that they tore through China, where the Doolittle raiders landed, and killed 200,000-300,000 people, depending on what you were looking for, depending on which sources you believe. Hundreds of thousands of people died because the Japanese anger was so red hot after the Doolittle raid. What was the point of the Doolittle raid? To send a message. sometimes sending a message matters a lot. Do you know why Donald Trump had to go to a boutique law firm to find lawyers to represent him with all his legal cases? Do you know why? Because the communists in the legal profession, in the Democrat Party, in the blue states of this country, waged such a vicious war against anyone who legally represented Donald Trump, trying to disbar him, I mean, you name it. Such a vicious legal war was waged against those people that the next time Donald Trump found himself facing prison time, which he was before this election, with all his money, all his power, all his connections, he could not find a high-powered attorney from one of the big law firms to represent him. Why? Because communists understand the importance of sending a message. Even if you get people hurt, even if you get people killed, you know these people don't care about that. Sending a message itself has value. What does this have to do with the communists and what they'll do afterwards? Well, Republicans, the right, they've never understood the value of sending a message. So you'll get Kristi Noem or you'll get Cash Patel or you get Pam Bondi on the news issuing all these threats to people. We're going to come after you. If you do this, we're coming after you, guys. Don't do this because we're going to bring you down. And then nobody ever goes down. Words aren't sending a message. Prison time, bankruptcy, the destruction of your reputation, your career, that sends a message. Communists did what they did to Donald Trump after Joe Biden stole that election, not just because they hated Donald Trump. They were sending a message not just to him, not just his lawyers, but to future Republicans who dared challenge them. You challenge us. You try to hold back the revolution, and we will destroy you. We will arrest you. We will bankrupt you. We will destroy you. Now, we caught some breaks. Biden administration screwed up as much as they could have screwed up. Spent all kinds of money. The inflation got out of control. The border got opened up. They went too nuts on the cultural stuff. And for all these reasons, Donald Trump gets swept back into the White House because the American people are angry about that. But the point remains. Communists were trying to kill Donald Trump, tried multiple times to kill Donald Trump, and tried to throw him in prison for the rest of his life. This is before he got elected again and started firing deep staters, deporting people, and doing things that actually harm the revolution. I said all that to say this, and then we'll goof off for a few before we get serious again. They're going to do worse next time. When the communists promise that they're going to arrest this person, arrest that person. Here's a headline. Oregon's lesbian governor threatens to prosecute federal agents for enforcing U.S. immigration law. You know you're going to see ICE agents be put on trial if Democrats take power again. You know that? Border Patrol agents, military officials. They don't believe in the word games. We're going to get you guys. They understand the true value in sending a message. Believe me, Republicans will go to prison if Democrats take power again. They will. It's going to be really, really bad. Let's hope that day doesn't come. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Your love, your hate, your death threats. One final word on this before we get to some emails. A couple other things. Communists, they shot Donald Trump in the head. Every jurisdiction where they had total power, they just simply invented felonies and tried to send him to prison for the rest of his life. If Fannie Willis hadn't had an affair with Nathan Wade, they may have succeeded If Donald Trump doesn't turn his head at the split second right moment, they would have succeeded in killing him. Communists understand the value of sending a message. How about Republicans? How seriously do communists take Republicans when they issue these threats? We're going to come after you. Well, I'll give it to Jasmine Crockett.
No one came to get me last time. In fact, it is a cute little warrant that has a cute little frame on it. And so they like to talk a big game, but the reality is that, number one, you have a...
We're going to arrest these Democrats who break the law. Democrats go to the news and say, oh, that's adorable. I have mine framed.
Yeah.
You can be dismissive of communists, mock communists. I certainly do both things. But don't ever think the communist is kidding when he tells you his terrible plans. If anything, he's underselling them. Hey, Jesse. Always talking about my bacon wrap from Thanksgiving. Tell me your bacon wrap peppers were filled with fig, broccoli, and goat cheese. Actually, no. So, Thanksgiving, just a little recap. We were having a big neighborhood Thanksgiving. Everyone had to bring a dish or two. Aw was, of course, going to do one of her world-class desserts, which got swept up immediately. It's all gone. They were scraping the bottom of her berry cobbler. They massacred it. And I went and I bought these local bacon-wrapped peppers, only I didn't ask the store with what was in them. I had no idea. Turns out, Chris, sorry, probably not going to be for you, pal, but it was stuffed full of pork belly and cheeses, like some kind of cream cheese and then some sort of yellow cheese cheddar of some kind. What, Chris? What? It was bacon-wrapped bacon? Yeah, pretty much. Yes, that's exactly right. It was bacon-wrapped bacon, and I got to be honest with you, bud. They were freaking amazing. But then Ob had to ruin it. I kept telling everybody, you need to try these. This is my recipe. And she had, he bought all those, and she ruined the whole thing. It was terrible. Speaking of which, you know what I did on Thanksgiving morning? Now, I need to clarify. Everybody has a different level of fitness, right? And you can only do what you can do. Maybe you are in supreme shape and you're training for an Ironman. Maybe you're out of shape, never work out. Maybe you're obese and you're just trying to walk, right? I'm not trying to humiliate anybody or make you feel bad because you can't do what I can do. But Thanksgiving morning, they had a turkey trot in my area. I got up, I fueled up, made sure I got some peanut butter inside of me, just wanted to make sure I had some energy. Couple cups of coffee. I, of course, have been hydrating for a couple days. I walked the 5K on Thanksgiving morning without stopping. Walked a 5K. How about that? Ob ran a 10K, and then she got so upset when we showed up at the big neighborhood party, and I had actually pinned my race numbers on my nice clothes that I wore to the Thanksgiving party. She begged me not to, but I did anyway. And then everyone kept asking about it, and I kept saying, yeah, we ran a race this morning. And then she would freak out about, you didn't run anything. And then I would tell her, please don't disparage your fellow racers and stuff like that. What, Chris? Was her time better than mine? I'm not sure if I want to discuss this. So here's what happened. The people who were the overachievers who were running the 10K, they started 10 minutes before the people who were doing the 5K. So she had a big head start, all right, a big head start. Now, she takes off with my oldest son, James, my runner. They take off. Luke and me decide we're going to walk the 5K like Iron Men. And we do. And we have a blast, and we're walking, and we're talking, and we're going through the neighborhood and hanging out with people. But then as we're nearing the end, as we're nearing the finish line, there were all these people. There were hundreds and hundreds of people were there, and they're taking pictures and everything. I tell Luke as we're about to round the corner for the last 100 meters or so to the finish line, 100 yards, I tell him, we need to start running now. Because if you start running now, then everyone will think that you ran the whole time. And he agreed. And so the second we round the corner, we start jogging. And I start, he's dying laughing. I'm waving at all the cameras and pointing to people. I'm grabbing water from the water station and drinking. I'm like, we did it. Thank you guys. I appreciate you. And he's just dying. Right about then, Ob and James round the corner and pass us. And barely passed us. I'm not even kidding. I don't even know how they timed it this way. 10, 15 feet. And then she spent the rest of the day disrespectfully telling everybody they lapped us, which is not true. They had a 10-minute head start. We're all racers. We're all in pretty supreme shape here, not to brag. Hey, Jesse, are American communists soft and paper tigers because they are attempting a revolution? Their attempted revolution didn't follow a brutal war like the Chinese and Russians and so on and so forth. That's a big part of it. It's a big part of why our communists are soft. But don't think because our communists are soft, they're not capable of committing acts of violence. As we've seen, the most deranged trans furry freak in the world is capable of pulling the trigger and killing somebody. We've seen this over and over and over again. Don't dismiss them. All right, now let's discuss this Afghanistan stuff before we move on. I'm specifically talking about the refugee stuff. Because right now, the Trump administration, they cut off visas for Afghan passport holders. They've essentially said, hey, anyone from Afghanistan has to go. Nobody new is coming in here. And this is in the wake of that terror attack where Sarah Beckstrom, why am I screwing up her name now? Beckstrom. Where Sarah Beckstrom, 20 years old, National Guard soldier, was killed. She's killed. The guy's shouting Allahu Akbar and all that other crap they shout. Kills this wonderful young lady, a patriot, 20 years old. Kills her. Now Americans are waking up and realizing, wait a minute, something was wrong here. Something must be wrong here. Well, yeah, there's a lot wrong here. So maybe we should have another discussion in a different way about Afghanistan and about how and why all of this went down. Because remember, the Biden administration told us repeatedly, over and over and over again, that all these people were vetted, that everything was good to go. Remember when they were saying
this? I can absolutely assure you that no one is coming into the United States of America who has not been through a thorough screening and background check process. And there are many individuals, as you noted, who have not been through that process. And they have gone to lily pad countries as that process has been completed.
Biden's on camera saying it. Jen Psaki was on camera saying it. Repeatedly, over and over and over again, they've been vetted. They've been vetted. We vetted these people. They're vetted. They're vetted. They're vetted. And then we wake up one day and we find out that they killed one soldier and another one is still fighting for his life. By the way, he's allegedly awake and responsive. So that's a good thing. The one who's fighting for his life, it's something. It's better than nothing. Let's talk about what happened and why. Before we do that, let's save a baby's life. Preborn is here to help us save lives. Preborn is saving the lives of unborn babies every single day, and they do it using the greatest tool the pro-life movement ever had, the ultrasound. The ultrasound tells women the truth. Not what they read online, not the news, not some relative, boyfriend, husband. Heartbeats don't lie. Preborn sets these clinics up in the high abortion areas, and they give free ultrasounds to these mothers who are about to abort their babies. And these mothers, when they get the ultrasound, choose life almost every time. It's almost the year end. You know, preborn donations are tax deductible. You're going to be looking for one of those 30 days from now. Preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday, talking about right now these Afghan refugees. How did we end up with so many people in our country from Afghanistan who shouldn't be here and from other places, but we'll focus on Afghanistan for now? Now, let's discuss this in detail, shall we? Allies. In fact, that guy who murdered that young National Guard soldier, he worked with the CIA, was considered an ally. What does that mean? Well, I was in Iraq. I was in Iraq. We had translators, locals who knew the language and the customs. And we always understood the chances that guy helping us translate is working with the enemy are strong. So you don't tell him everything. He doesn't get details. You don't pull him aside an hour before an operation and tell him, okay, we're going here, here, and here, and we're going to have 50 Marines with us. You know why you don't tell him that? Because everyone understood he's going to get on his little burner phone, and he's going to text his terrorist buddies, and then you're going to get ambushed and killed. Not politicians, not people in the media, not someone from the JAG Corps. Go talk to anybody who was boots on the ground in Afghanistan and ask them about the general experience with allies over there. Were there some great ones? Of course. Oh, of course. I don't want to say otherwise. But it was always understood the people you're working with, your translators, they have loyalties that may not align with you. Even if their loyalties do align with you, that Afghani translator, he has a wife. He has children. Those children, they're not living in the safety of a military base. They're out there in Afghan society. They're out there in mortal danger. Even if, and this is a big if, even if you're the most pro-America, defeat the Taliban, Afghan translator in the world, how long does the Taliban have to hold your wife and pull her fingernails out before you decide you're going to work with them on bombing the next American convoy? They love to run to the news now and talk about how wonderful these Afghan allies are, and they're our most precious people, and they fought side by side with us. Here's another Democrat.
Lastly, Congressman, I do want to ask you about something else. You fought in Afghanistan and supported the withdrawal and the repatriation of Afghans who assisted U.S. forces. In light now of the shooting of two National Guardsmen by one of those Afghans who was repatriated to the United States, do you have concerns about either the vetting process to allow them in the country or the potential for radicalization?
The Afghans who were repatriated to the United States were our allies and our compatriots in Afghanistan. They are some of the most vetted individuals in the country. This shooting is a tragedy. This individual must be held to justice, and if found guilty, I hope he spends the rest of his life in prison. But we should not collectively punish the Afghan community for the actions of one individual. That's not who we are as Americans. We don't punish people because...
That's all a lie. They weren't patriotic, loyal allies. Well, of course, a few were. It was well known they were traitors. Well known. You had to use them when you could. Well known to be traitors. That's one. Two, vetted. They loved to say that. Vetted, huh? Let me ask you something. Because I know you remember, I played it for you earlier. You remember how the Biden administration tried to tell you that they were vetting all these
people? I can absolutely assure you that no one is coming into the United States of America who has not been through a thorough screening and background check process. And there are many...
Really? Huh. Well, let's just walk through this logically, shall we? You ever known anybody who's been through a background check? Maybe you yourself have been through a background check? Was it a five-minute process? Let me go ahead and clue you in if you don't know. In order to do a background check, it's not that they sit you down for 5-10 minutes and ask you some questions. Oh, that's part of it. Don't get me wrong. They're going to go talk to your kindergarten teacher. I'm not making that up. They're going to talk to your neighbors. They'll talk to friends you've known for a long time. Does he have a drinking problem? Have you ever seen him get violent? What's his relationship like with his wife? They're going to comb through the paperwork history of your life, transcripts, criminal records, credit scores. It's not a five-minute process. It takes weeks. It takes months to do a background check on one person, and that's one person who's an American, meaning from a modern country with all kinds of records that can be verified, medical, like I said, criminal, everything. We are a country, a modern country that keeps records. We have these things, and it still takes weeks, and it takes months. So how could they say something so false?
I can absolutely assure you that no one is coming into the United States of America who has not been through a thorough screening and background check process.
They say it because people are stupid and they believe it. That's why they say it. They didn't vet a freaking thing. They were worried about bad PR because Afghans were falling from C-130s and getting shot in the head by the Taliban. And so they just grabbed as many freaking Afghans as they possibly could and threw them on the back of a plane and flew them into America. And I told you behind the microphone as it was happening, because I had guys involved in the whole affair, guys were saying there are bad people on this plane. I know this guy. This is a bad guy, and he's on this plane heading to America. They didn't vet anything. The Biden administration were disgusting, anti-American communists, only worried about PR, only worried about poll numbers. So they grabbed as many Afghanis as they possibly could, chucked them on a plane, and flew them into your backyard. Now they drive from Washington State and they murder a 20-year-old young lady who signed up to fight for her country. And you know the biggest tell? You know how you know they didn't vet them? I've got a little soundbite. Maybe you've heard it before, but there's a little part of it I bet you missed. There's the ultimate tell in how you know they didn't vet them. I'll play that for you in a moment. Before I play that for you, let me tell you this. Relief Factor works. It works for your pain. You go through it. You have pain. I'm talking about your knee hurting all the time. Your back hurts all the time. Every day you bend over, you sit down. Your elbow, maybe muscle pain somewhere. It hurts because it's inflamed. Your body is trying to fight that inflammation. It needs help. Relief Factor is that help. It is a supplement, not a drug. 100% drug-free. A supplement. It builds up in your system. The longer you take it, the better it works. You are 3 weeks away from that knee feeling just fine. 3 weeks. They sell you 3 weeks of it for $19.95. Just try it for 3 weeks. If it doesn't work, don't call them back. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. You know how you know they didn't vet them? I'll play it for you next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.